All right. I'm going to do something a little weird, and I hope that's okay with you. I'm going to do it anyway. So we're worshiping. I was just getting this sense that there are more than a few of us who are, for some reason, holding some bitterness against somebody else. And I don't know why, but I've just had that feeling this last week, like there's this grudge developing between people, and I don't know why. And some of it just seems so silly. It's like I've witnessed some of it, but I feel that it's deeper than what I'm seeing. And I just want to take a few minutes. If you would you just join me? Would you just close your eyes? And would you just ask the Lord, is there somebody that you're holding something against? Some form of bitterness, some grudge, some petty little thing, or maybe it's a real serious deal. And while you have your eyes closed, would you imagine the amount of grace that Jesus has poured out on us, grace unimaginable. And now would you pass that on to that person, just in your mind, just lift them up before the Lord and forgive them. Would you forgive them? Just ask the Lord to help you forgive them. Give them grace. Just clear the account. Nothing left owed. Total out the balance. Lord, as we pray and we confess those things where we might be holding a grudge, I ask that you would give us a supernatural ability beyond our human capacity to let go of those things, to let them go, to let that poison, that bitterness in us just disappear right now, Lord. That you would break those bonds, God, that you would help us to love that person, whoever it is, that we're just holding something, Lord, that we would love them. And Lord, now we ask that you would release your best for them, that you would just let them feel your presence right now, whoever it is that each one of us is praying for, and you would let them feel your presence and your love poured out on them, your hope and your grace and your peace. And Father, as we pray these things, I pray that your joy and your peace would be filled up in your people who would let go of those things, just as you have let go of so much that we might have peace. And so, Lord, we thank you, we hand it to you, and we just delight in the fact that you would help us to do these things. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have not been with us so far, we are in Daniel 10. We've been working through the book of Daniel. If you don't have a Bible, we have some on the back table. Please grab one and join along with us. It has been an exciting study for me. I love the book of Daniel. Hopefully you love the book of Daniel. You're still showing up, so it's either by compulsion or you're getting something. I'm hoping it's because you're getting something out of it. This has so far, as we've been going through the study, really nailed down one chapter to one vision or one theme. So chapter 1 dealt with the captivity being pulled in. You know, chapter 2, if you've been going along with us, the Colossus or that image that Nebuchadnezzar sees, and each one successively is chapter by chapter. Now that we come to chapter 10, we've got three chapters left, 10, 11, and 12. This is all one account. So it's kind of a run-on account. There's no way we could do it all in one setting. I could toy with the idea and try if you wanted to, but I'm guessing most of you probably want to see the game, so we're not going to do that. We're just going to focus on chapter 10. And then each week I'm going to bring those together because there is a theme that starts in chapter 10 that if isn't attached to chapter 11 makes chapter 11 the wrong message. And you'll get that next week. But there's lots to jump in here to today. And I hope that you will see that I think this chapter is so fitting for where we're at right now. The things going on in our lives. And I think it hopefully will speak to you like it's been speaking to me as I've been preparing the lesson. So that's enough introduction. Let's jump in. Daniel 10:1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. The message was true, and the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till the 3 full weeks were fulfilled. Now, it might help to understand right in the very beginning that piece there that is translated, the message was true, but the appointed time was long is actually better translated, the message was true and the warfare was great. That's a better translation of that. The warfare was great. So Daniel had set himself apart to hear from the Lord. And when he did, what he came to understand was, man, this was going to be a battle. This was going to be intense stuff. It was not going to be a walk in the park. He was going to internally battle. And for 3 full weeks, he really was in battle mode prior to receiving this message. And as he got the message and he saw the visions of the things that the Lord wanted to tell him, they were going to be unsettling. They were going to be unsettling. And some would say this really was all about Daniel's internal struggles. Others would say it's because of what he saw in the vision. And I would tell you it's both. This was going to be heavy stuff for Daniel. It was going to really weigh on his heart. And I think you'll see that as we go through the next several weeks, that Daniel really does get the truck unloaded. And he sees a whole bunch of stuff coming down the pike. But it was going to be both. It was going to be war. War for him as he saw it, war as he heard of the wars coming, and it was going to be difficult. What we do know is that Daniel was mourning for 3 full weeks. That's what it tells us, 3 full weeks before receiving this message. And we get the confirmation that it was before this message when we come to verse 13. You'll see that in just a minute. So Daniel had really set himself again apart so that he could hear the Lord and hear what he had to say, because Daniel was dealing with some of the aftermath of what we got to in chapter 9. Daniel in chapter 9 heard that after 70 years, the people would leave the Babylonian captivity and get to go back to their land and rebuild. But at this point, we're just a couple years later, that 70 years has passed. The people have just recently been allowed to go back to their land and rebuild. And Daniel was excited about that. He was old. He was not going to make the journey. It was a hard journey. It was a lot of work to do. But he envisioned in his mind that the majority of the Jewish people who had been held captive out of their promised land for 70 years would go back, and less than 50,000 of them chose to do it. Less than 50,000. And Daniel was grieved. And beyond that, what Daniel heard was then when they got there, there was opposition. People were trying to hold them back from rebuilding, from reestablishing what God had given them in the land. And to go even further, there were reports that some of the men, the Jewish men who had left, when they came into the land, found these very attractive young ladies of foreign descent who worshiped foreign gods, and they dumped their wives and they took these young ladies. And so Daniel, man, he's just grieving. He's grieving. And so for 3 weeks, he's mourning and he's fasting and he's preparing to hear from the Lord. I think it's this whole piece of fasting and mourning is a piece that isn't common in the church today. It should be common in the church today. And we've been dealing with that again as we've been in our study in James. James 4 tells us, man, there's a time where we're to weep and to wail and to mourn. That's not our common state. We talked about that last week in our study in Daniel 9, but there's times for that. But that fasting piece is big. And here Daniel gets alone. Not because he's trying to make God owe him something because he's fasting. No, he wants to separate himself from all the distractions of the world that he might hear from God, that he might get some special instruction about what's going on, about what he should be doing, because he was a messenger to God's people. He was a spiritual leader. He wanted to hear that he might convey. And so he just sets himself apart and he gets still. I was thinking about a book that Dennis Fuquay wrote a couple years ago. If you know Dennis at all, he's in our area and Prayer Summit Ministries, and he's one of those prayer warrior guys. And he wrote a book on prayer, and he said that the very reason that he wrote the book was he got in his RV, he drove away and sat there for several days alone, just he and the Lord. And from that time, he received revelation from God of things that he needed to hear. And I think, man, Daniel's doing that. He says, God, I just got to get set apart. I got to shut down all the things that are noisy, distracting, even food, some of those basic things of life that I just might hear from you. And I like that. I think those times are powerful, and they're something that we should all be giving attention to. I really think that it's great for us to just get alone a couple times a year by ourselves and just be still. When Pastor Scott was here, he and I went up to Applegate Christian Fellowship, and they have the mountaintop retreat. And we spent a couple days just up at the mountaintop retreat in our own cabins, didn't see each other much at all, just being with the Lord. And those times are so sweet. And I hope as a church, we would take advantage of that, because the Lord's sitting and waiting to reveal things to us just as he wanted to Daniel here. So now after these three full weeks, Daniel tells us the message that came to him. Verse 4, he says, "Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude." Man, that's a great image, isn't it? If you're familiar with the book of Revelation, Revelation 1 gives us a very similar picture, and it tells us that that picture is Jesus. And I mean, it's uncannily similar. Yet, what's interesting, or you might find interesting here, is there's great debate on whether this particular person here is Jesus or if it's an angel. And I can tell you that from reading both sides of the debate from multiple commentators and Bible scholars, that I used to really believe, nah, it's not Jesus. And now I'm waffling, and I'm going to leave it to you to decide yourself. You're going to have to pick that one out. But the real debate centers on this. Verse 10 speaks about an angelic being that reaches down and is going to touch Daniel. And the question is that speaking of a second person, or is all of this speaking of the first individual, the one that we just read the description about? If it's speaking about a second person, then this could be Jesus. If this is all the same person, then there's no way this could be Jesus, because we find later on in verse 13 that this being, this heavenly being, is delayed by a demonic force. And I'm going to tell you, nothing delays Jesus. Nobody stops him. Nobody gets in his way. When he wants to appear, he appears. When he wants to arrive, he arrives. And so, again, the whole crux of this depends on who that person is in verse 10. Is this a second person, or is this that first person all in one? But Jesus, we know, is delayed by no one. I take great comfort in that personally, because sometimes, man, we are just crying out. And if Jesus could be delayed 3 weeks when I need him today, we're in trouble. And that just isn't the case. So again, I lean more toward the angelic being. I'll leave it to you decide. You choose. Verse 7, Daniel continues, "And I, Daniel alone, saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw the great vision, and no strength remained in me. For my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was this deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground." Now, this is an interesting account. The same thing happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. We find it in Acts 9. And in that case, what we find is he was walking with a group of men, and as Jesus came to appear to him, man, the other guys, they could hear it. They could hear some sound going on. We don't know if they could make it out. That's what verse 7 of Acts 9 tells us. But they could not see the account that was between the Lord and Paul himself. And so we've seen this before, and this is exactly what's happening to Daniel here. The vision and this message was for them and them alone. And what's so awesome about that is here they are in a crowd of people. Daniel had been searching out the Lord. Paul, not so much so at all. But when the Lord showed up, he was able to get them alone, even in a group of people. You could say our Lord knows how to clear a room, or how to clear a stream bank, or whatever it is. He has no problem getting to you and I all by ourselves, even in a crowd of people. And I can imagine the faces of these guys as they were all freaking out and fleeing. It's the same thing you and I would have done, by the way. You hear this booming sound from heaven. You don't know what it is. But Daniel was receiving this message because it was for him. It doesn't mean that Daniel was less affected by the message. Not at all. What we see is that it wiped him out. What Daniel got from this angelic being, what the message was to him, man, it took every last bit of his strength that he could get. It says it caused him to come to frailty. And I think I can relate with Daniel because I would have done the same thing. We would fall on our face in the presence of an angelic being who is delivering this message. But sometimes that's the cost of seeking the Lord, seeking a deeper answer, seeking what we need. And if you have had difficulties in your family with anybody at any time, you might have been in this case where you're searching out the Lord, and to search him out takes a toll even. It can take a cost. Sometimes we think it's always refreshing right up front, but to be truthful, sometimes what you and I need to hear is not always easy. It's not. Sometimes it can be difficult, and it wiped Daniel out. There was a cost. If you are a spiritual leader, and the guys, we just got done talking about this in our week, there, our weekend alone, but if you're a spiritual leader like Daniel was, we are actually called to set ourselves apart to hear on the behalf of others, to hear on the behalf of ourselves too for certain, but also to seek the Lord on behalf of others. And that's what Daniel did here. He was seeking on behalf of the nation of Israel. And as he was seeking, he was having to hear all kinds of things that were very difficult. It was a toll on him for certain. If you're a parent, if you're a spouse, if you've got aging parents, if you've got all those pieces in between, or younger kids, man, sometimes as the spiritual leader, you've got to seek God out and his direction for those people who you have been given charge over, and there is a toll to pay for it. I think that's important. We've got to honor those people who are seeking the Lord on our behalf. It doesn't come without a cost. There is a cost associated. And the cost can just take you down to your knees at points. So here's the question for us. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing? You know, some people really just want to live a life without any difficulty, without any trial. And in doing so, they kind of live in the superficial zone, I call it. You know, if you just wear your mask, and I wear my mask, and everybody wears their mask, and then we're all okay, and don't ask me how I'm really doing, because I might not really be doing well, and I don't want to tell you because you don't want to really hear. And there is that peace going on. And we can't live in the goo all the time. That is not the intent. God is not wanting us there. He wants us to live victoriously. We are to live a joy-filled life. We are Christians. We've been saved, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. But as a spiritual leader, there are times when you have to be willing to be wiped out to seek out the Lord and to hear the hard stuff, the difficult things, that you might be able to minister to those under your care. It's important. Daniel did that because he is a spiritual leader. He has the heart of Jesus. And the question for us is, are we willing? Are we willing to get set apart to hear those things and to bring them forth? And although there can be a cost involved, not always, but there can be, the Lord certainly will not leave us in a worse condition than we were before we sought him. That's really important. He will not leave us in a worse condition. You might have to tread through the valley to get to the other side, but there is a mountaintop on the other side. And God's going to reveal that for Daniel too. He's going to give him revelation. And the revelation will be hard, but at the end, as he gets through the valley, there is a mountaintop. And so Daniel continues, verse 10. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. Remember, he was on his face. Verse 11. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And so here we find Daniel really was touched by an angel here. And so now he stands back up on his feet. And here he is. Verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Have you ever heard somebody say, I don't know why I should bother praying. God already knows what I'm going to ask before I even say it. And there's that feeling that, you know, if he knows everything, Why does he need me to tell him? But what we hear in this particular passage is that Daniel got the answer because he prayed the prayer. He got the answer because he asked. What we hear twice there is that the words of Daniel mattered to God. They mattered. That Daniel would take the time, that he would speak the prayer, that he would ask, and because he asked, he got an answer. God wants to commune with us. Yes, he knows what's in your heart. Yes, he knows what's in your mind. But what he wants is intimate fellowship with you. He wants to hear it from you. I might be able to guess what's in the heart of a coworker or my spouse or my parents or my children. And I could even see sometimes when I think there's a need that they might have. But man, the minute they ask, it's game on. I'm no longer guessing. I'm responding. I'm doing everything that I can at that particular point. And you and I have to understand that God desires to hear from us. He wants to know what you and I are thinking, but not just because he's God and he can pull it out of our mind. He wants to know that you and I would come to him and ask in faith, believing that he will respond. I wonder how many prayers have not been answered simply because they have not been prayed. Think about that. How many prayers have not been answered simply because they have not been prayed? James tells us you have not because you ask not. And God wants us to come to him and say, these are the things I need. This is what's troubling me. This is the response that I, and he will respond. But as we're going to see, it doesn't always come in the same amount of time that we want it to, but it does come. And it would have been easy, because it didn't come right away, for Daniel to say, man, the Lord's not responding. He's not answering my prayer. This has been a long season. I have really set myself apart to hear from him. And for some reason, God's not responding. And maybe he just doesn't care. He could have given up. But he didn't. And what we understand is that this angel comes to tell Daniel, Daniel, from the first day that you set yourself apart to hear from God, from the first day he heard and sent his response. First day. He wasn't waiting 3 weeks, and he's not waiting 3 weeks for you. But you and I should keep praying, knowing that he's heard us and that there is a response coming, but it might not be when you and I want it to arrive. And there's more things at play than what you and I see with our eyes. And sometimes we just see our own little myopic viewpoint. This is why God should answer me. It's because what I need. And God says, no, I see the bigger picture. There's more things going on that you don't see. But don't stop praying. Just keep praying. Because God heard him and he'll hear you too. So we just have to keep going. So the question here is, why was there a delay of 3 weeks in getting Daniel's answer? What took that long? And the next verse explains to us, or the angel tells Daniel, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Folks, this is all speaking about the spiritual battle. Those kings, you can replace that, or that prince, with angel. And you see two sides of the coin here. You see angels that are serving our Lord faithfully. They're committed to him. They've stood with him. And you see those who have fallen with Satan. The Bible tells us that 1/3 of the angels fell with the angel Satan. And they are the demonic angels. And there is a war going on. And so we get a glimpse here inside of the spiritual war, a rare glimpse. We don't get to see a lot of these particular pieces. But we get to see that this angel was coming to bring the message, but this demonic being, this prince of Persia, withheld him, and there was something going on that just wasn't visible to Daniel. It wasn't visible to him, and it's not visible to us, but it doesn't make it any less real. And so this angel, who I believe is Gabriel, the messenger who always brings these very powerful messages to God's people, gives us a rare insight, and he tells us who these three beings are. The first one, the prince of Persia, is a demonic angel over the region of Persia. He's attached himself for some reason to Persia. He has a strong aptitude for it. He won't let go. He's put his hooks in there. The next one is the angel who's giving us this account. And again, I believe it's Gabriel, who was held up for 21 days. And then finally, we come to Michael, who is identified as a chief prince. Now, when we get to verse 21 and we get to chapter 12, verse 1, we find out that Michael is identified as the angel who is set over the nation of Israel. That's his specific charge. And we've talked about this in a previous study in Daniel, that Michael is the archangel who is the head of God's army of angels. And they are victorious in every battle that they go to when they are called to battle. Every time. But he is specifically charged with watching over the nation of Israel. We'll come back to that in just a bit. And in verse 20, we're going to be introduced to a fourth angel, the prince over Greece, or the angel over Greece. And again, we're talking about demonic beings at that particular point. We'll get more to that as we move on here. So you have seen that there's a battle between both of these sides of angels. It's raging. It's moving back and forth. But here is what I think quite often we don't fully comprehend. In heaven, where this battle took place, where Satan decided that he did not want to follow after God, he wanted to be God himself, the job was taken, he's very irritated, so he goes on a rampage against God. He and a third of the angels who were with him fell. They were cast down out of heaven. And they have lost that battle. That battle is done. It's over. They can never re-enter the battle. It's finalized. But there's still a battle, and there's only one thing else to battle for. And it's us. We are the focal piece of that angelic battle. That's it. It's humanity. People. That's what the battle is raging over. And we have to grasp that, because that means that there are angels who are fighting against us and angelic beings that are fighting for us. And it's at this point that many Christians say, that sounds a lot like a fairy tale. And I believe because Christians respond in this way, they are unwilling to fight a battle they believe does not exist. They say, intellectually, I have so much problem with that, Rob, that you tell me that there's angels in this room today and there's an angel set over the nation of Persia at that time and there's an angel who is fighting on their behalf over Israel. And it sounds great, but I just can't wrap my mind around it. And because some people have difficulty wrapping their mind around it, what they have chosen to do is say that that battle doesn't really exist. And therefore, they're getting wiped out, because you won't fight an enemy that you don't believe is there. You won't fight that battle. And so what happens is all of a sudden we end up fighting different kinds of battles. Battles in the flesh. Battles with our words. Battles with our intellect. We got the wrong weapons in the warfare. And I tell you, for me personally, I'm kind of grieving over this at this particular time in our history, because I see that we are living in a particular age that there's a lot of difficulty going on. There's a lot of stuff at stake. Very valuable, important pieces, important to God, therefore important to us, but also important to those who stand on the other side. And they are not primarily fleshly in nature. We've heard that from Paul in Ephesians 6:12. He tells us, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And we're fighting it on the wrong front. And I'm afraid we're setting ourselves up for a pretty big loss. I'm watching what's taking place right now, and I'm very passionate about the things in our world right now. And I know many of you are, and I know many Christians are. We're passionate about what's going on, and we should be. I think we should be involved. We should let our voices be heard. But if we do that as our primary focus of winning the battles that are going on, we are assured to lose. You will lose. You are fighting with the wrong weapons for this warfare. And I'm afraid that as I watch and I hear and I listen and I see the frustration that is bubbling up even inside of Christians or those who are conservative or those who are liberal is leading us to a melting point. There is a collision coming. And that collision is not going to be pretty. And nobody wins in it. Do you know that dead people don't enjoy the Super Bowl? They don't enjoy time at the beach, time with their family. They don't enjoy those things. They're over. There can be no victory at that point. And I'm afraid we are inciting a riot. We're fighting the wrong war. We're losing it, folks. And I've got to tell you, it's grieving me. We've got to stop that. We let our voice be heard. But we speak with grace. We are the ambassadors of peace. It has been given to us as our job. So we stand very strongly on the things that God says, this is my heart. This is righteousness. This is the way I want things to be. And we stand and we are active. But to be lacking in grace in that approach is a complete miss. It's a complete miss. And we will end up with a war we don't want and one that we cannot win. But on the other end of the equation, we've been told that the victory is already ours if we will simply fight the right battle with the right tools. It's a spiritual battle. It's not intellectual. You cannot have a rational conversation with an irrational person and all of a sudden they become rational. You know why? Because it's a spiritual deception that is upon them, not just something that's in their head. There's a force feeding the delusion. We're told that in the last days. This is what would happen. A strong delusion would come. And people would begin to give in to this delusion. And it's happening. And you can't intellectually reason with them out of that. But you can pray them out of it. You can pray them out of it. You can ask God from heaven to come down and to send his angelic beings to release them from the grip of others who are holding them hostage against their will. Their enemies that they don't even know are now prisoners of war. And you and I need to come back to that point where grace is what we fight with in prayer. It's a spiritual war. Don't get sucked in to a physical, intellectual, verbal battle with people. Because our battle is not against people. It's so easy to see a person and go, my battle's against you. I oppose everything that you believe in. I oppose everything that you stand for. How could you be so stupid? And we could say those things, and we're battling people, but that's not the war. It's a spiritual war. I love what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, because we do, we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That's not our war. You and I don't get that war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing, every thought, every position that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's where we win. And it's an assured win. It's assured. It's guaranteed. And we've got to come back to that battle. We cannot lose the war that way. We will lose it in the flesh. Everybody loses when it goes to that level. Okay. Now that I've interrupted the angel, let me get back to what he was saying and in our study here. Verse 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Again, this is just that note that God has chosen to use Israel as his stopwatch and unfolding of the prophetic events then and of our time, these last days, and that these things are long term. This wasn't a vision for a few years. This was all the way to the end of the age. And back in verse 15, when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the Son of Man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength, remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. But then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said to me, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Lord, or let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. You know, Daniel has been hearing some tough stuff. Wars, future wars, desolations of the temple, even the fact that these people, his nation, would reject their own Messiah. I mean, he was having to go through all of these parts, and he saw that the spiritual battle was just raging, and it was going to be going on, and it would keep moving. And as these things were revealed to him, including the unleashing of the Antichrist in the last days, Daniel just couldn't handle anymore. Daniel came to the point, he says, man, I'm done. Max capacity. I have no strength. I have no ability to stand. I don't know how I'm supposed to go any further. Again, he was just simply wiped out. And what we're going to find in chapter 12 is that much of what Daniel was going to be hearing didn't have to do with him at all. It didn't have to do with the time period he was living in at all. It was simply for a generation out in the future. And specifically, our generation is included. And what Daniel was told was, hey, I want you to take these things now, Daniel. You hear this in chapter 12. And I want you to seal them up, for this is not for you. Go your way, Daniel. This is for a group of people out in the future. I think that group is us. And I've talked about that on many occasions, but I think that group is us. And he was told that when that group comes around, all of a sudden that prophecy would be unfolded again and we would get new insights. Our knowledge would increase. We would understand things that Daniel didn't understand, that the other prophets didn't understand, that the apostles didn't understand, because it wasn't in their time. They couldn't even relate to the futuristic visions, these apocalyptic visions that were taking place. But it's in our time, meaning that you and I get to see them unfold. If you're paying attention, there's some heaviness in our time. The things that Daniel heard, we have now heard, and we get to see them unfolding even in different ways that Daniel could see at the time. So it's fair for us to say that many today are wiped out because of these visions. I talk to so many Christians who are just wiped out. I can't watch the news. I can't pay attention to prophecy. I can't think about it. And I understand. I understand. That's not a criticism. It's tough right now, man. The news is unfolding faster than we can keep up. And sometimes the best thing to do is just to feel like you want to check out. And so as Daniel was wiped out, we can feel the same way. And I understand that. But there's encouragement here. There was encouragement because when this angel came, he didn't just come to unload the truck and then drive away. That wasn't the point. We talked about that. He didn't just come to drop Daniel in the valley and then leave him there. There was an intent in God by sending this angel to Daniel, and he had a few things that he was going to do for Daniel, and he does them for us. He does them for us too. This angel was a ministering spirit to Daniel. What you and I are told is in Hebrews 1:14, the angels have been sent as ministering spirits to us. Not just to bring the news, but sometimes to strengthen us. Sometimes to break those bondages of other spiritual things that are warring against us. And we don't set our mind on the angels now and buy angels and put them all over our house and name them and worship them. We don't do that. The Holy Spirit came to point us toward Jesus, and he being God doesn't want us to be focused on him but on Jesus. So don't focus on the angels. But it should be a comfort for us to know that not only do they bring revelation, they have come to strengthen us, to set us free, to break the bonds. And we don't pray to the angel, we pray to Jesus. He dispatches them, but God's got them there on our behalf. And that should encourage us. And this angel brought three or four exhortations to Daniel, four exhortations that you and I might need to hear today because they apply to us also. First, he reminded Daniel that he was greatly loved. That last verse there, you're greatly loved. We talked about that in length last week, and I hope some people who needed to hear that took that to heart. But in case you didn't, let's just cover this again. When it says here that, Daniel, you are greatly loved, maybe it helps you to understand that the translation says, Daniel, you are greatly desired. That's a better translation. Greatly desired. Sometimes people have so much trouble with love because they haven't felt like they've been loved. I got to tell you, I've talked with so many who really struggle because in the past they feel like a parent hasn't desired them. A spouse hasn't desired them. Their children don't desire them. They feel undesirable. And they struggle all their life trying to figure out how to have these relationships with people and how to find joy because they don't have somebody who desires them. Jesus desires you. He loves you. And when he says you're greatly beloved, he says he greatly desires you. He always has. He always will. He never won't. Would you just receive that from him? I think part of the problem is that God says these things to us and we say, yeah, that's true for them, but it probably isn't true for me. And would you just take him at his word? Would you just take him at it? You are greatly desired by Jesus. He loves us. That is strengthening. That is the foundation of the strength of where we're at. You are greatly loved by God. Second, the angel told Daniel, do not be afraid. Now, I don't know about you, but occasionally I need to write a verse down somewhere where I can see it. So we get those dry erase pens and our dishwasher is a smooth surface. So Jeannie will write verses on the dishwasher where we can see it from the living room or write it on the mirrors. You need a verse like that for fear? Here's your verse. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand, my righteous right hand. Don't be afraid. There is a war going on. There's crazy stuff that we see everywhere. We see this friction taking place between all groups of people. If you tried to isolate today, what are the problems in America? You'd have to isolate so many different groups of people. That's part of the problem we're having. And people throw their hands up in the air, or they just lash out. And Jesus says, just stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. I'm God. I got you. I see it. I knew it. I uphold you. It's all good. Let go. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. My right hand. I do right. I am righteous. I do the right things. And I have you in my hand. Man, write a verse down. Let it just roll off your tongue. Recite it over and over again until the fear goes, Lord, you've got me in this. You've got the situation. Next, the angel proclaims peace over Daniel. And again, like the other three things here, the question is, will we receive the peace? When we get to chapter 12, this is one of the things Daniel has to deal with. And he's told, man, you're going to have to choose to receive it or not. Daniel chooses to receive the peace. He chooses to. And you and I have to choose that too. Will we let that peace of God be accepted in our heart? It's there, but not everybody will grab a hold of it. Some will say, yeah, I refuse to have peace. Personal peace, peace with others, I refuse. And so the angel says, man, have peace. Have peace. I like Proverbs 12:20 declares, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. Peace. Receive it and give it, and you're going to be joy-filled. That's God's word to you. Counselors of peace, bring a message of peace to people without peace. You will then have peace and joy. You get the bonus round. And you and I need that. That's what our message should be. As you're getting on your Facebook post, by the way, and you see that thing up there that you really don't like, message of peace. Answer the question you wish they would have asked. Respond to the statement you wish they would have made. Somebody puts something vile up and you say, the grace of God is so amazing for us if we would only receive his way. I am praying peace for you in this. Not, I can't believe you're so stupid. That's not it. That's not the answer. Peace, message of peace. 4, and finally he encourages Daniel to be strong. And so Daniel replies, so when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Daniel received it. And because he received it, he was strengthened. Are you strengthened? Do you have those pieces and those qualities in you? Will you receive what God says? I'm telling you, most of the problem isn't that the package wasn't sent. It's that we won't sign for receiving it. It's been sent. God's word has been said. His peace has been granted. His joy has been there. His strength has been given to us. His love has been guaranteed. The problem isn't that there wasn't a delivery. The problem often is that there wasn't a reception. It's for everybody but me. But you don't understand. But I can't get over. But this happened. Folks, if you will receive it, you will be strengthened. And if you will not, you will fall to your knees and tremble. And you'll have nothing left. You'll have nothing left to give. Receive the gift of God. There are no buts in this gift. There are none of those. Unto you, I bring a message or tidings of joy and peace. Good news. Be a receiver. It will strengthen you. It will change the way you communicate even with others. Verse 20. Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except for Michael, your prince. So Daniel received the answer to his prayer, and the answer was, this battle is not over, Daniel, and it's not going to be over for a while. It's going to keep raging until I return. But even in this battle, as you are hearing of these demonic beings, Daniel, that are standing over Persia, and then when Persia falls, the one will stand over Greece. I want you to know, Daniel, that I've won the war. I've sent Michael, one angel, over the nation of Israel, and no one has defeated him ever, and no one ever will. He will win. He will be victorious. Daniel, my plan will unfold. The battle is raging. I have a plan, and I've got the victory. It's going to happen just like I've said, just as it's written in the scripture of truth, or it's actually the book of truth. We read about that in Revelation 5. There's a book of truth. It's eternal. It is God's plan. It is not written in pencil that it can be erased. No whiteout sticks to the pages. It is what it is. And he says, Daniel, here's the plan. I got this. I got this, Daniel. The war is raging, but nothing is going to change in my plan. It is eternal. Next week, we're going to pick up in chapter 11. And as we go into 11, you've got to come into chapter 11 with the context of chapter 10. Everything that we're going to hear about, all these battles that have taken place now, most of them in chapter 11 from the past, were demonic in nature. There was a spiritual battle going on. If you read chapter 11 apart from 10, what you do is you conclude that this is about the wars of men. It is not. It is spiritual in nature. And folks, you and I are set to win this battle. We just have to do it God's way. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you do give us insight into things that we can't see. Lord, truthfully, most of us would approach this vision in these three chapters and we would just go right to 11 because it's all the things that men can see. It's the wars between men. It's the deception between men and women and the whole group. It's the trampling of ground and taking what isn't ours. Lord, it's all in the flesh. And honestly, Lord, I think many even search out this word and they go right to the things that they can gather, the historical part, because it's so fleshly and we can understand it. But Lord, you have given us the ability to see further than the flesh. You have told us, you have painted pictures for us throughout Scripture that the battle that we have goes far beyond here. And Lord, you don't stop at the battle. You go all the way to the eternal victory, to the victory that is unending. Our victorious King coming again and setting up his kingdom. And Lord, you tell us to set our mind on the things which are above, to put our focus there, to gaze there. And Lord, we can so easily be distracted and get into the skirmishes of the earth. Lord, I'm praying for each one of us as we've heard your word today, that we would realize that our fights with people need to come to an end. They need to stop. That, Lord, we need to be a people who battle on our knees, who invoke our privilege to speak to you and ask that you would fight the battles, being that you've told us that you already have the victory at hand. Lord, we ask that you would fight aggressively on our behalf, and you would fight for those who are prisoners of demonic angels, of their own desires. We ask that you would peel away the scales from their eyes, that you would open their ears that they could hear, that you would bring understanding to their heart, bypass their head and speak life into them, Lord, that they might be captives set free, just like we were when we were once in our sin. And Lord, we're praying for all of them. Lord, we're especially praying for the one who's irritated us the most. We just ask that you would pour out your love on them, that you would show your grace to them, and that you would bring them into your family. If you're here today and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe God brought you here that he could open your eyes, open your heart to receive the fact that you're fighting the wrong battle. You're a casualty of war. And he says, man, I want to set you free. I've already died in your place. I've been resurrected to eternal life, that you could be with me, that wherever I am, you could be also. And you simply have to turn from the world and turn to me. Set your eyes on me. Follow me. Let me be your king, and I will lead you into righteousness. So simple, he says, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You will be saved. If you want that today, that's all you need. You don't need to come and make a confession before me or anybody else in this place, but we would gladly stand with you. But simply call on the name of Jesus and have eternal life in him right now, and forevermore. And he will keep you in his hand. You don't have to walk perfectly. You can't. But his grace has got you covered. I want to thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Lord, now we want to worship you. Would you help us as we come to this point of worship to truly let it be just that? Let us just get carried away, just you and us here now, Lord, one-on-one with our King as we worship you, Jesus. Amen.